One. Hello, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio, channel 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. I am the host of this show, Joanne Fox. It's called Faith in Action. And again, I'm so pleased that you took time out of your busy schedule to set your dials or go to our website, SiouxlandCatholicRadio.com, or one of several platforms that we put our podcasts on, and support us. We're very grateful for that. But the one organization we are most grateful for, and that's Mary's Choice, and that is a pregnancy resource center here in Sioux City, Iowa. And the great staff there, they help women, they help men, they help families with challenges that may be associated with either an unplanned pregnancy or a pregnancy that maybe has some issues associated with it. So again, so grateful for their support. So I have an exciting guest, and look at, I already kind of put that into quotations, an exciting guest on the phone with me, and it is Dr. Ray Grandy. And if you listen to Catholic radio at all, you know that he does The Doctor Is In. He's got his own syndicated show, and he's also on television too, and he's written books, and he's just a Renaissance kind of guy. And you're wondering, well, I can just listen to Dr. Ray over the noon hour. I don't know why Joanne has him on the show. Well, that's because guess who's coming to dinner? It is Dr. Ray, and we are going to host dinner with Dr. Ray. Might want to get out that pen, pencil, piece of paper, or your phone and put this in your calendar. Monday, October 3rd, and it will be here at the radio station, and we're here in Sioux City at 701 West 5th Street, and I'll say this stuff over and over during the broadcast, so if you tripped trying to go get that pen or pencil or paper, I'll say it again. So, again, it is Monday, October 3rd, and he has graciously agreed to come to Siouxland. He is also going to broadcast his show live here over the noon hour, and then we're going to have a little meet and greet in the afternoon. We got a social hour, and then we have dinner with Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And during his talk, he will address the profound topic, laughter, the sanity of family. And any of us who have a family know that laughter is so important in a family. So with that mega long introduction, I'm sure you want to hear my guest. Dr. Ray, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Joanne, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Maybe the listeners have listened to you and enjoyed hearing your insights, but perhaps they don't know a little bit about the background of you. So if you would share with the listeners where you grew up, where you went to school, something about your family, I think they would appreciate hearing that.
I grew up in Canton, Ohio, which is two things. One, it's the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is not more than two blocks from my house, and the home of Mother Angelica, who went to St. Anthony's Parish in Canton. St. Anthony was the parish for all of us Italians. So the law was, if you're Italian, you had to go to St. Anthony's. And as a matter of fact, my father, I believe, was a freshman at McKinley High School when Rita Rizzo, Mother Angelica, was a senior. And she was a majorette at McKinley High School. So all of the stuff that Raymond Arroyo has written about in Mother's early history, including her miraculous cure at Rhoda Wise's house, I was very familiar with well before there was a known Mother Angelica.
Oh, wow. That is astonishing. I mean, that's almost jaw-dropping. So growing up in this Italian family, did you have many siblings?
I was the oldest of four. And, you know, when you're the oldest Italian son, the sun rises and sets in your backside, according to your grandmother.
Of course. So
I had to resist her favoritism for a while because I had three other siblings and some other cousins. But because I was thrown into that top dog oldest grandson place, well, she always gave me most of the potato chips.
Oh, bless her heart. Did she also pray every day that you would be a priest?
Well, I told my mom, like a whole bunch of Catholic little boys, when I was 7, 8, or 9. You know, this priest thing. The priest thing is, I don't know. I wouldn't rule this out, you know. Well, one thing led to another, and I went off in different directions. And obviously not a priest. Obviously a daddy of 10 kids, 10 adopted kids. I never would have thought that. If somebody would have come up to me on my wedding day and said, you know, you're going to have 10 kids, I would have said, I think you're confusing me with somebody else in the wedding party. I don't really know what you're talking about.
Did you always think that you wanted to help people? I think back to my own high school years, and mostly I just wanted to go to college and party a lot because I was a product of the late 60s, early 70s. But I was interested in writing, and of course that has been my entire career is the field of journalism. But what were your thoughts as you looked toward high school graduation and where you wanted to go to college and what you wanted to do with your life?
I had high scores in the math college exam, so the counselor said, you should be an engineer. I didn't know what an engineer was, but I figured, okay, I like to live in a caboose. That's nice. I'll go. I didn't know if those trains went that fast up close or not. So I went to a school in Cleveland called Case Institute of Technology. I took a year of engineering, and something happened in my second semester, Joanne. I was floating along pretty good, thinking, all right, I'm not totally into all this, but I'm doing okay with it. And then on a midterm in Physics 2, I got a 31. Now, you can't recover from a 31. I don't care. You only have one test left after that. You'd have to score a 200 out of a possible 100 to bring a 31 up into passing. So I called my mom. I said, Mom, I think I'm really not cut out for engineering. I'm going to transfer over to Western Reserve, which was part of the college. Go into pre-law. That's right, pre-law. Okay, good. I'm going to be a lawyer.
Okay.
My senior year, I thought, you know, this psychology stuff is pretty interesting. Maybe what I'll try to do is get a master's degree in psychology, and that'll give me a better chance of getting into law school. By the end of that senior year, when I had the master's, I thought, what if I went for a PhD? Now, at that time, I was clueless. I had no idea what you needed to do to get into a PhD curriculum. I just thought you just applied and you got in. Well, I applied to Kent State. They had 600 applications. They took 12.
Mm.
Fortunately, I was one of the 12. I have no idea how and why, but I was. And then I went into psychology, and I figured, okay, I'll just go into an office at a mental health center, and I'll see clients 8, 10, 12 hours a day. And I did that for, oh, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 years. Then I decided, you know, I don't know if I can sit in an office all day long. I got to look into doing some other things. So I wrote my first book, and it helped me to start doing speaking engagements. Back in those days, you didn't have the web. Well, back as old as I am, back in those days, you didn't even have an abacus.
Right.
But people went to talk. They did, because that was one of the ways that you listened to somebody. Well, now, of course, we've got the Internet. We've got all kinds of technological ways to hear people. So the demand for speaking engagements isn't quite as high as it was in those days. But that led to a career in a lot of public speaking, and I kept writing the books. I learned a secret to writing a lot of books, and you being an author, you'd know this. The secret, Joanne, is you can't worry about them being very good. I think that's the secret, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you start worrying about quality, it really slows you down. That's what I thought.
You're absolutely right.
I'm being facetious, but, you know, the other day, though, my wife said, you know, Ray, you need to really get a little more literary. And I said, okay, all right. So I finished, you'd be impressed with this, Joanne, in one night, I finished a 230-page book, and that is a lot of coloring. You know, I wore down several crayons. I did.
Yes, I totally understand that, too. I thought you were going to say a 230-word book, and I was going to say, hey, wait a minute here. That's not much. But, yeah, I'm even more impressed now. I'm so glad you mentioned your wife, because I follow you on Facebook because I'm kind of a news junkie, or, you know, I'm I better not say the word I really am, but I'm into news big time. I always have been. And I think your wife took a video of you mowing the lawn, and I just loved it. Now, I may be...
Sneaky little weasel.
I love her. She's my kind of woman. Tell the listeners a little bit about your wife, who, as I refer to my own husband, long-suffering and patient. And so I'm wondering if she might be the same.
My wife was not Catholic when we married, but she was a very thoughtful, in-depth kind of woman who was very open to the Catholic Church. So I went to the Catholic Church, and she came with me, but then she decided that she wanted to return to her own religious roots. She thought, she was mistaken, but she thought she was United Methodist. So she went into the Methodist Church. When we adopted our first son, I said, honey, if she wanted to homeschool. And I said, if you're going to do that, can you just please teach him the Catholic faith? Well, as she started to learn about the Catholic faith, she said, this isn't what I was told Catholic faith is. This is a lot more rich. This is a lot more logical. This is a lot more historical and scriptural than I was led to believe. So she's now Catholic, and I can take quite a bit of devotional lead from her because she's, I think, a much more faith-filled person than I am. But we adopted 10 kids. We couldn't conceive. I had something called Sertoli only cell syndrome. Now, that is a congenital condition. And my grandmother was excited because it was Italian. So she was happy. But I threatened to sue my mother. It was congenital. I said, Mom, I'm going to sue you. But the attorney told me the statute of limitations probably ran out. So I told her, I said, this better not happen again. That's all I can say. So we tried to adopt, and you know, even back then it was hard to adopt.
Yes.
So we adopted our first child, and we were very fortunate that way, and then a second, and we thought, well, okay, that's probably about it. You're not going to get much more than two. But then we realized if you are open to special needs or across race, black, white, Hispanic, biracial, in those days you could adopt a lot quicker. I asked an adoption worker once, I said, what if we would adopt a little black boy infant? How long would we wait? And she said, what are you doing tomorrow?
Oh.
Yeah. So now that's not so much the case anymore because people are so desperate to adopt children because they're either being aborted or they're being kept. But in those days, across race was a way to get children very quickly. Not so much now, but it still is. And I tell people who want to adopt, if you're open to that, it definitely shortens the waiting period.
Very good. And I have friends who have adopted two children, three children. One has four. Is this the law of diminishing returns? Kind of like, well, I'm number five. What's one more at this point? Six. Hey, what's one more? Seven. I find that really interesting that you opened your hearts to that many children because I just think it's like herding cats.
Well, first of all, you can't worry about your success rate. That's the first thing. You can't go into this parenting thing thinking you're going to raise 10 little St. John Boscos and 10 little Mother Teresas, first of all. You are asked to do your very best to give them all you can give them as parents. And then, after that, they are, like my wife says, we are raising people. They are their own persons. I tell people that I have one child going to Penn State and one probably going to State Penn. You know, it's just,
that's
just
good.
A variation.
I got to remember that one. That's very good. Did any of them want to be an engineer?
My son, Andrew, my oldest son, is an engineer, and he is far brighter in that way than I ever was. Yeah, he's an engineer. My daughter is a major in the Army. She's a JAG lawyer. She's over in Europe right now doing, I don't know what she's doing. I think if she told me, she'd have to kill me.
Okay.
So given that, and then got the others in various places in their lives and professions and working. And what happened, I'll tell you, Joanna, is you're right. Each additional child was a small percentage increase. When you went from 2 to 3, that's a 50% jump. When you went from 9 to 10, that's an 11% jump. So inch by inch, it got easier. And one of the things that happened along about child number 6 or 7, my wife said, Ray, if not us, who? We have a good marriage. We have the financial resources. We think we know what we're doing. We've got a good extended family. We're set up for this. And I said, okay, honey, you're the boss. But I just had one condition. I wanted to make sure that we adopted in December because you still get the tax deduction for the whole year. They pay for themselves that first year. Then you fall behind because they eat more. But
Yeah. But that's very practical. Very practical.
Yeah, you got to look at it that way.
Absolutely. One of my favorite individuals I used to follow because he had a column in the newspaper, Dr. John Rosemond, and he wrote a lot about raising children and family dynamics. And the one thing that always resonated with me was after he got done, and I can't remember how many children he had, so I'm just going to say 4. That sounds like a good number. And then somebody can call in the station and criticize me for not knowing that. But when he was done and the last one was out of the house and on his or her own, he said, I am now an expert in raising children because I have raised them to adulthood and now they seem to be productive citizens, taxpayers. And so I am now an expert in raising children. And I always got the biggest charge out of that. And I kind of set that as my own barometer as well. So is that how you can perhaps call yourself an expert in raising children as well?
Yes and no. My own experience with my 10 children gives me a lot of material. But because I've been a shrink for 45 years, and I've dealt with thousands of families and parents and marriages and lives, I have a much, much, much broader sample size to go from. So hopefully, a lot of my own personal experience dovetails well with my professional experience. But just a quick backstory on Dr. Rosemond. I don't think he's a doctor. I think he's a master's level social worker. He initially will confess that he tried to raise, I think, his two older daughters, according to all the modern psychological techniques. I call it psychological correctness. And it blew up in his face. And he came to the revelation, the epiphany, that in fact, a lot of the wisdom of the ages, of our grandparents, of previous generations, made much more sense. And he did kind of an about-face and decided to raise his children according to what he would call long-standing traditional wisdom. And it worked for him. But I will say this, Joanne, to those of your parents listening. One of the more common referrals I now get is parents who have raised their children and have watched their children leave the faith or have watched their children reject the faith, or who have watched their children reject them, and they're racked with guilt. What did we do wrong? How did we fall short? Why is this happening? We raised them in the faith. We raised them as best we could. What's going on here? Many times, it is not at all anything to do with what the parents did deficiently. It is the culture. Culture is very good at shaping how young people think and how they behave and what they believe. So I have to do a lot of shoring up and getting rid of the guilt of these parents. My wife and I have said this, and it kind of parallels Rosemond. We will not tether our peace, our contentment and joy to whatever our children do. We will not tie it to their behavior as adults because we can't do anything about that. We have raised them. That's what we were asked to do. I use this parallel, Joanne, and I'll probably deal with this when we get together and speak on that Monday night. There will be those parents in your audience who feel terrible about the trajectory of their adult children. And, of course, they will beat themselves up. They will feel awful, sad, depressed. Would you please just answer me a few questions, Joanne? Please just answer yes or no on these.
You bet.
Okay. Is there a God?
Yes.
Is Christ God?
Yes.
Was he sinless?
Yes.
Could he perform miracles?
Yes.
Did he have a perfect understanding of human nature?
Yes.
Could he get most people to follow him?
Seem to.
No, not at all.
Oh, well, he had the 12 guys.
Yeah, the 12. But that's the 12 out of how many, huh? Right. He could not get most people to follow him, and that was God. And I always tell my parents wrestling with us, I say, yeah, can you do a miracle? Can you even do a crummy card trick? Our Lord himself couldn't get most people to follow him. Who do we think we are? Like there's some kind of spiritual formula. If we just applied it right, our children will be exactly as we wish they would be. No, you have to recognize you are called to do your very best in raising them to know God. And then after that, you cannot tether your joy and peace to the directions they go in. You're there to pray for them, and many of them come back. But, hey, maybe I won't be alive to see it.
Well, that's why we have hope and faith. Is sure. In trust. And as I listen to you on your radio show, I hear that kind of theme over and over, because you do get a lot of listeners who call in with, they're just beating themselves up. Oh, why can't I fix this? And I don't know what to do. And they're really at loose ends. What I always enjoy is when somebody calls up and says, I have a friend, and then goes and I wonder how quickly it is you pick up on that it's no friend. It's really them.
Well, sometimes what they say, Joanne, is they'll say, well, okay, here's a situation I'd like your comment on, Dr. Ray. Okay, say a person has, and then I go, and then at the end of it, I'll say, so say this person is you. Oh, okay, yes. You know, one of the, if you listen a lot, you're one of my 12 loyal listeners. One of the things I hear a lot more nowadays, and I really wrestle with why this is, but more and more people, whether it's in therapy or on the radio or on TV, when they talk to me, their question is, will you tell me how to make somebody else be different? And I want to say, I have a hard enough time helping you be different.
Mm-hmm.
You want to remove it another person.
Yeah, and that's very true. I think we struggle with why don't people conform to what we want them to be. And as parents, it's an even bigger guilt trip, because you look at your kids and you think to yourself, but I did all this right. Or your very close friends that you give advice to and you can't see why they don't embrace your wisdom. It's an interesting aspect of our culture nowadays, much more so than I remember when I was growing up, much more so.
We are a terribly over-psychologized culture. Rather than look at things the way we might have 3-4 generations ago with a little more God perspective, psychology has kind of taken over. And it has all the new rules, the new enlightened ways for being a good spouse, for conquering anger, for raising children. We really don't need priests. We really don't need confession. We don't need the stuff of God, because we've got the new gurus. And that's a major factor in what's going on out there, Joanne. I've written several books dealing with that, especially from a parenting perspective. I've seen so many parents so buffaloed and unsure of themselves and second-guessing and tentative in raising kids, and they're getting defeated by a 4-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Very common now. Unfortunately, I've made a lot of money pulling back some of the traditional wisdom that we've jettisoned.
Well, and social media seems to exacerbate it, almost everything as well, where everybody puts out their 2 cents, and a lot of people then look at it and go, why aren't I like this?
Parents will ask me, what is the one thing I can do that will sabotage my parenting more than anything else. And I say, that's simple. Get them a smartphone.
There you go.
They're simple. And the average, you know what the average age for a smartphone now in the hands of a kid is, Joanne?
God, I was going to guess 10, but I bet I'm
That's
high.
Right. You're
oh,
right.
Oh, really?
It's between 9 and 10. Yep.
Oh, which is just, I shake my head. I can't even think of such a thing.
It's insanity. It's insanity and it's lunacy. And I will tell you, for, as a shrink, I see nothing but parents coming to me saying, I can't believe where she went. I can't believe who she's hooked up with at age 13. I can't believe how gender confused she now is because she's been on social media and they're pushing the gender confusion. I can't believe the fact that she sent that picture to her boyfriend. I can't, just on and on and on and on.
Yeah, it's a sobering time. Well, as listeners know, we usually take a short break to give a shout-out to our supporters. And, of course, Mary's Choice, the Pregnancy Resource Center here in Sioux City, is right at the top of our list. We are so grateful for their support. But we are going to take a short break. And I want to again remind you, this is not Dr. Ray's live broadcast. This is an interview with me, Joanne Fox, who's the host of Faith in Action, but we are promoting a dinner with Dr. Ray, which is now it's time to get that pencil and paper ready. Monday, October 3rd, it's going to be here at the radio station, which is 701 West 5th Street. Dr. Ray will be on site. He is going to do his live broadcast over the noon hour, and then later on, we've got a little meet and greet going on and a social hour, and dinner with Dr. Ray will be from 6 to 7:30, and that's going to be an opportunity for him to share more of his insights and maybe even take some questions from listeners who have friends who are struggling with something. Maybe. Anyway, like I said, we're going to take a short break. But again, I want to thank my guest, Dr. Ray Guarendi, who has his own show called The Doctor Is In on Siouxland Catholic Radio. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with me and enlighten our listeners as to what's going on in the world today.
Joanne, I'm looking forward to seeing you on that October 3rd. That'll be a lot of fun.
Okay, listeners, stay tuned because we will be right back. Well, listeners, wasn't that a treat to listen to insights from Dr. Ray Guarendi, all the way from Ohio, clear here to Sioux City, Iowa. What a wonderful interview he was. And we are so looking forward again to having him here in Sioux City. And again, if you got a pen, a paper, piece of pencil, whatever, mark this on the calendar. It is Monday, October 3, and Siouxland Catholic Radio is hosting his appearance. And he will be here speaking and at a dinner, so you can have dinner with Dr. Ray, and that's why we joke around, guess who's coming to dinner? And so we are holding that. It is kind of not in the Siouxland Catholic Radio studios because that's not enough room to have about 250 people. It's going to get a little too cozy. So we are going into the St. Boniface Historic Parish Hall. And, you know, there'll be parking all around so we can accommodate anybody. He will do his live broadcast of his show, which if you listen to him on EWTN, it's every noon weekdays, and he's just delightful. But he will broadcast here from our studio to the many EWTN listeners. So we're really tickled about that. And then there'll be a meet and greet at 4:30 and then social hour. We have to have social hour. And who knows, that may go from 5:30 to 7:30, you know. Social hour is, that's kind of an innocuous term. But dinner is at 7, I think, right, Ann? Yes, at 7. And that's when he will, as we kind of eat, he'll talk. And God bless him. He said he would take questions from the audience. So in the back of your head, looky here, you don't have to call him. You can just wave your hand. And, of course, we'll clear the questions ahead of time so you don't embarrass anybody. So, again, if you just tuned in, well, thank you for just now tuning in. If you've been with us from the top of the hour, you know this show is Faith in Action on 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. I'm your host for the show, Joanne Fox, and I am so tickled that you are joining us. And again, I am so pleased that Mary's Choice, a pregnancy resource center here in Sioux City, sponsors the show. I mean, it gives us great joy ourselves because they are willing to support us, and we support them in all they do as well. And then, of course, if you don't have time to listen to the entire show, well, you can go to our website where you can hear this podcast at SiouxLandCatholicRadio.com. We're also on Spotify and about a dozen other podcasting platform. So we are taking everything to a new level here at Siouxland Catholic Radio. Okay, I guess you're probably tired of listening to me, and Dr. Ray had to go mow his lawn or something. I kidded with him about that. Said his wife took a picture of him mowing the lawn. I thought it really made him more of a real person that he mows the lawn just like the rest of us. So I want to remind you, Dr. Ray has his own show, and he calls it The Doctor's Inn, and it airs here on our station every day at noon, and we are bringing him here to Sioux City. And any event that you have, you've got to have a chair couple. And so, unbeknownst to them, we kind of strategized amongst ourselves here at the station, and we decided that the best fit for a chair couple are John Fitzsimmons and his lovely wife, Lindy Fitzsimmons. And guess who I've got in the studio with me, listeners? Studio, not on the phone, are John and Lindy Fitzsimmons. Thank you both so much for taking time out of your busy schedules. As listeners know, I'm retired. I have time. These two people work for a living, so they did take time to come in and chat with us. So thank you so much both for joining me today.
Well, and thanks, Joanne, for having us here.
Oh, my pleasure too. So why don't we just start out, John, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? They may not know too much.
All righty. Well, it all starts back in 1964. Okay. But actually, Father Cooper was parish priest when I was an adolescent, when I, you know, had my first communion, first confession. He was the guy. So our family was always very close with him. And as you know, Father Cooper was the inspiration for starting the radio station here. And actually, he was my inspiration for when I was in between jobs to look at Sioux City. Oh, I had a job offer in Sioux City. And okay, Father Cooper's there. So, Father Cooper is what really brought us to Sioux City. And again, Father Cooper is what inspired us for this wonderful Catholic radio.
So when you say brought us to Sioux City, because I knew Father Cooper at St. Joe forever. Did you grow up in Sioux City?
No, I didn't. Actually, Vail, Iowa. St. Anne's Parish.
Yeah. St. Anne's Parish. Down. That is Carroll County, isn't it?
Well, it's Crawford County.
It's Crawford County.
Right next to Carroll.
Okay.
And then I did go to Carroll Kemper, which is Carroll County.
That is Carroll County. Okay.
And Father Cooper was in Vail when you met him.
He was in
There's Vail. The connection, of course, because growing up, I remember him being at St. Joe for like forever. So there again, a neat connection of, you know, the way we're all connected here in the Diocese of Sioux City. So then after Carroll Kemper, college someplace?
Yes, college at Creighton University in Omaha.
Go Jays.
There you go. That's where I met my lovely wife, Lindy.
Okay, and you were studying what?
I was studying marketing.
Oh, so yeah, because degree, as our parents right. say, and what are you going to do with that marketing degree?
Right.
Because I was in, like, journalism, and so, yeah.
Well, you stuck with journalism. I didn't stick with marketing. So, so I've been insurance claims, litigation adjuster type guy for the last 30 years.
Okay. And like you said, you met Lindy there. So Lindy, you're at Creighton, but where did you grow up?
Yep. I grew up in Des Moines. I started much later than the 1964 of John. Let me just
okay.
say that. Yeah. I grew up in Des Moines and went to West Des Moines Dowling. Helin was our rival, you know, so
very
I,
much
I
so.
Knew of Sioux City and I went to Creighton, met John and he was super cute. So married him, moved up to Sioux City.
I know. He's turning red a little bit, blushing. Yeah. That's so sweet, John.
We do love Sioux City. I wanted to say a point of interest, which a lot of people might not know, maybe a lot know, but KFHC does stand for Father Harold Cooper.
Yes.
To start it with a K, but
Yeah, right, thank you for reminding them that. That's a fun connection.
I think that's fun. So John always loved Father Cooper and wanted to come up here. And we have 6 kids. He didn't mention that. And
it's easy to forget, isn't it?
Thing, yeah.
Yeah. They're all grown except one. One's still in the house, and he's super easy. He's a great kid. He's Joey Fitzsimmons. He's a junior at Helan. And I work at Ho-Chunk. I just started there about 2 months ago, and I'm the accounting manager for the Capital Division. So that's a super new fun part of my life.
So when you were at Creighton, were you studying like business administration or
I am an accounting major.
Accounting major. So. Which parents like that too, because it sounds like you can get a job in that field, right?
I did. Yes, I went to KPMG Pete Marwick. Then I went part-time all the time I was raising my kids. Then about 6 years ago, I started full-time again because they wanted to go to college, you know.
We're skipping the most important things though. You know, when we we're looking at schooling for our kids, when we were young parents, and we were like, we ended up, that brought us to St. Peter's up in South Dakota. So we left Sioux City proper and we live in the country. And then that school closed down. So we started homeschooling. And I think really that was, you know, looking back, those years were so great to interact with the family. And Lindy did the lion's share of pretty much everything. But it was just such great formative times. And, you know, when you were looking at, gosh, Dr. Ray, you know, he seems like part of the family, you know, with the Catholic radio, with the community, with the grassroots of your family, it is truly family. And, you know, over the years, you know, when you're struggling as a young parent, gosh, what do I do about this? Oh, there's Dr. Ray. I've one of my favorite Dr. Ray lines. He says, you know, use this on your kids because it works every time. I'm like, okay, I'm all ears. He's like, when they're suddenly the noise is getting louder at home and you ask your child, are you arguing with your mother? And it's like, boom, they just stop deer in the headlights. And it does definitely work every time. So that's one thing I tell, you know, lots of other young parents. It's like, I got this great Dr. Ray-ism. It's, are you arguing with your mother? Are you talking back to your mother? And it's like, stops them in their tracks. So, you know, another, you know, Dr. Ray has been like part of, I think, the family for all of us, EWTN, Catholic radio people. And so, you know, it's just so nice to have him because it's like he's been part of the family for years.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you should mention, you know, how important it was for cultivating the faith in your family with your kids, because when we had Roger and Kathy Bergen here from the Carroll, Iowa area, their kids are in Carroll Kemper. They spoke specifically as to almost agonizing over how do we keep the faith with our kids. They didn't happen to mention Dr. Ray, but I just heard that parallel immediately. So listeners, that's why you should always listen to Faith in Action, because we do have these connecting things where parents really want to do the best for their children, and especially in some sort of faith-filled environment. And then I had to laugh, John, when you said, you know, he's got all these funny little things he says. So when I had him on the radio, and that was earlier in this program, listeners, you may recall, I asked him about the 10 kids, and he said, yeah, I often joke, you know, one of my kids is at Penn State and the other one's in the state pen. And that's just his nature. I mean, but he's so good about bringing it down to a commonsensical level of, you know, this is what you need to do. And of course, he's been, you know, in the business forever. And so he brings this great knowledge and history of, and I joked with him, you know, being a successful parent, because what you have done, you have raised them to adulthood. And now we hope they're productive citizens and taxpayers as well and all that good stuff and out of our homes. That's what we all hope. So we've talked about, and we didn't get to mention, John, that you are a board member of Siouxland Catholic Radio, as I am as well. And so when we talked about that opportunity to bring our listeners together, because it's hard to bring them together when everybody's listening to us on the radio, in the car, at their home, who knows where, you know, in bed before they go to sleep. And so we've got kind of a fragmented group of a lot of like-minded people. So we talked about, well, how do we bring all these like-minded friends and supporters together. And then it kind of came up, well, maybe we should bring in Dr. Ray because people like him. So what would be, would you say, the purpose of bringing Dr. Ray here to Sioux City so listeners can be kind of up close and personal with him?
Sure. I'm glad you mentioned that, Joanne. Dr. Ray is like, I mean, you could bring any speaker in, right? We're like, oh, we'd like to have a great speaker to come in and inspire everybody. Well, you know, the cool thing about Dr. Ray is it's not just like a guy you've seen on TV or a book you might have read. It's someone that so many of us have actually talked to over the years because his show is a call-in show, and which is a great segue. My lovely wife, Lindy, has been a caller upon occasion. And so, Lindy, could you just kind of tell us a little bit about...
Well, I think one of the most important things in your entire life is your relationships with people. And that's what Dr. Ray helps you with, right? And I find that super interesting. You know, John's huge rush in life is his faith. And mine is really my children or my relationships. And of course, I have a good faith, but that's not really what seems to drive me every day like it drives him. So you might think that it's easy to be married to John, but sometimes it's not so much, right? So he's awesome, I mean. But being married itself causes, you know, it has its own issues. So I would like to, if I was mad or having an issue or disagreement, I kind of wanted some backup because I didn't want to just sit there and say, I'm right and you're wrong, because he was so well-versed in the faith. And I didn't feel like I could make a good argument. So I have called Father or Dr. Ray on a couple occasions because I just wanted to know that I was going in the right direction, and I really did care. And it was interesting. And I feel like a lot of times when you hear Dr. Ray talk, he talks about getting along. You know, he's not there about not getting along. Just the littlest thing, like my kids aren't Catholic, but they do this and they do that. He's like, when they're older, love them and enjoy them and teach them by example. You don't need. I just think a lot of things were good like that. And I loved the way that he parented, and I loved how I was parenting. I'll tell you, one of my all-time favorite Dr. Ray advices for raising kids was, I like to talk to my kids with respect and appreciate the things that they say. And, you know, they'd be like, I didn't hear you, Mom, or I forgot. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, that does happen. Dr. Ray's like, forget that. They need to listen. When you talk, they need to turn down the television and come listen to you. They don't get to say, I didn't hear you, because they'll say it every time. They don't get to say, I forgot, because then they'll forget every time. You know, if I tell you something, write it down. You might get a couple passes, but not very many. That was a really helpful piece of advice for me. Anyway, I really do enjoy having that resource. And I think Dr. Ray is a resource that brings people together and often took my side. So there's that.
Well, yeah, that's what it's all about. So what do you hope that people who come and hear Dr. Ray will take away from his presentation? What are your hopes for this event, would you say? John, you got some ideas?
You know, I do. I do. I think what I learned from Dr. Ray, the most important thing is, you know, he'll say, oh, yes, I'm a psychologist. I have all these initials behind my name. But, you know, you're a parent and you've got this God-given stuff that makes you just be an awesome parent with a little direction of, your faith. It's just like you can be a great parent. So he's like, the first thing you got to do is just have confidence in that fact. Because the world wants to tell you, oh, gosh, you guys don't know what you're doing. We got all these other great newfangled ideas of how you raise kids that, guess what, people, they just don't work. So that's, you know, the main message from Dr. Ray is, you know, have confidence in being a parent. You know, you've got all these great God-given things that just support you and just have confidence in doing your job. And it's your duty as a parent to parent your children. So
Dr. Ray is enjoyable. They can come and have a great night. The food's going to be awesome. They can really enjoy it. And in fact, it just doesn't hurt to have some outside opinion sometimes. Am I in the right direction? You can even check other sources. I do really enjoy listening to them because we all have problems that are so similar. And so it's awesome to hear other people have their problems, how they might handle it. And he touches on everything, not just parenthood, but mother-in-laws and adult children or husbands, everything. And so, and he does it in an enjoyable way. He's funny. Don't tell him I said that.
No.
He is funny.
He is funny. You know, the state pen, Penn State thing, I thought was very witty, you know, when I asked him that. And, I think that's kind of it in a nutshell is, you know, that's what we hope is when they come together for this event. And we have struggled, haven't we, the past couple of years with being disenfranchised from people and, you know, because we wanted to take care of our own personal health and we worried about other people's health. And now I think there's this desperation of, oh, here's an event. Good. I get to see other people and hug them and tell them how much I've missed them. And, you know, what a great way to bring people together of like-mindedness. And, you know, you can go to YouTube and probably click on Dr. Ray. And of course, you can listen to him every day here at noon. But there's something about that energy between somebody sitting in an audience and somebody seeing this guy talk and the mannerisms, you know, that live moment, because there's nothing quite like it. And, you know, listeners, think of the things that you've gone to that have been live and how decades later, you know, you remember your first rock concert, your first perhaps presentation that was of somebody who was educated. And it resonates with you, and you share that over and over. So I think that's part of the strength of doing this again. And I'm so glad you mentioned, Lindy, the food. The food is Sneaky's Chicken, and then our new good buddies, Crumb, who make the best desserts on the planet. Love them so much. In fact, I think Jerry and Debbie were talking about the joy in one's life, and honestly, the joy in my life is getting one of those Crumb brownies or cookies. So another perk. So I just think it's a great event. I think we're looking forward to it. If somebody was thinking to themselves, should I come? I don't know. What would you do to push them over the edge so they would come?
You know what I say? As I say, you are not going to remember another night at home. You are going to remember going to this event. I've used that in my life, too, where I'm like, I just want to go home. But you know what? This is a great event that you will remember for a long time, as opposed to spending another night cleaning your house, getting your laundry done.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, and
amen.
I say, listen to the show. Listen to his show. Come see him in person and be ready to be a parenting ninja.
Ooh, I like that. A stealth ninja or a real ninja?
Just really darn good at what you do.
Just a really darn good ninja.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, listeners, if you listen to the show, you know we're kind of coming to the end of it. So I want to remind you again that we are going to host Dinner with Dr. Ray Monday, October 3. Siouxland Catholic Radio is the host. I am not. I would like to be. But Siouxland Catholic Radio is the host, and it will be again Monday, October 3. And we are hosting it for the parish hall, right? So our offices, the station's offices, are in the former St. Boniface Rectory, but this event will be in the historic parish hall. And anybody who's driven by St. Boniface knows that it's just great, filled with history. So, again, Dr. Ray is heard daily at noon on Siouxland Catholic Radio. And he deals with so many parenting issues, from diaper dilemmas to teenage troubles to college crises, along with family, personal, and professional life issues in a straightforward, no-nonsense, but very often humorous way. And if you listen to Dr. Ray with any regularity, you know Fridays is the worst of Dr. Ray instead of the best. I always get the biggest charge. And he's got 10 adopted children, all adults now. So, of course, he's an expert in the field of parenting. And he will talk a little bit about being a revert. He was raised Catholic, but as many people, you know, they kind of go up and down with their faith as they're in college and maybe as a young adult. And so he says he's a self-proclaimed revert, but he has energized and educated and entertained audiences for more than 20 years. So again, Monday, October 3, he is going to live broadcast here over the noon hour, and then we'll have a 4:30 meet and greet, 5 o'clock social hour or so, and then dinner starts at 6. I just now looked at the postcard. Should have, right? Should have looked at the postcard. Oh, if you want to know about, we are doing tables of 8. We are also doing individual tickets, but rather than get into that, go to our website, SiouxLandCatholicRadio.com, or you can call the station at 712-224-5342. 712-224-5342. And Lisa and Ann will be more than happy to give you direction and tell you what's going on there. There is a cutoff. I believe it's noon, September 23. Why? Because as anybody knows who's ever put together a funeral dinner or a wedding reception or a reunion of your high school chums, the caterers want to know how many people are coming. So we need that. That's it more than anything. And there is limited space. Everybody who's been in the St. Boniface Parish Hall, it's 250. That's it. And then the fire marshal comes in and closes us down. So 250. I want to remind the listeners, because I think you guys possibly were in when he last came to Sioux City. We're thinking it's about a good 20 years ago.
Quite a while, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Trinity Heights brought him in. So here we are. God, it's too bad it took 20 years to again have somebody come live.
Yes.
So that about wraps up our program today. I think I've hit all the high notes. And I want to thank my guests in the studio right now, John Fitzsimmons and Lindy Fitzsimmons, who are the chair couple for this first ever Dinner with Dr. Ray event. So thank you both so much for coming in.
You're very welcome.
Thanks
thank
for
you, Joanne,
us.
For everything you do.
God, good times, right? And thank you, Dr. Ray, if you're listening as well. I hope you are. So that wraps up another edition of Faith in Action. I'm your host, Joanne Fox. And I want to remind you, on behalf of my executive producer of this show, Ann Reed, and I think I'll throw in the rest of the staff, why not, that a faithful reaction could be good. But faith in action is so much better. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.